we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program here for another week, and I pray that you are having a good day and plan on having a good day and a victorious week as God leads you in triumphal procession. This should be the last week that we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. And we've been talking about the real day-to-day operations of faithfulness in our areas, whether you're faithful to do your job, faithful to give, faithful in your walk with God, whatever it might be. I pray that you will be faithful across the spectrum of your life, that there won't be any safe spaces for unfaithfulness in your life. And so last week I was trying to squeeze in one last truth there before the clock ran out. I didn't succeed with that, so I apologize for sounding so abrupt. But let me just tell you one you know what I was trying to finish on last week's broadcast. We were in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. We were in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 about being faithful in the arena of giving, being faithful in your finances. So let me say, you need to be faithful to pay your bills. You need to be faithful to honor the Lord with your finances. And I pray that you would get to the place that you are faithful to be able to give extravagantly. I remember seeing a Robert Morris video, or it might have been when I heard him preaching in person, but he was riding in a car with someone and saw this big old house, and the person began to ridicule the owner of the house and said, "Well, the person that owns that house, they ought to sell all of that and give it to missions." And the Robert Morris said, "What they didn't realize was the person that owned that house goes to my church, and they didn't own that house because they were interested in living in abject luxury or, you know, extravagant luxury. That was the biggest investment that they had. And what they didn't know was that those people gave huge sums of money. They did not give minimalistically. They gave extravagantly." And so I just want to encourage you, when it comes to finances, make sure that you judge with righteous judgment. Jesus commended a widow lady who gave the equivalent of a couple of pennies because she wasn't giving out of her abundance. She was giving out of her lack. And so it's not a comparison thing. It's really not. We're getting ready to have our missions emphasis this coming Sunday, where we are going to not be taking a portion of our tithes, although our church does take 10% of our general income and give it to missions. But in addition to that, we give everything that comes into missions, and most of the time we're giving above and beyond that. It's about 25 to 30% of our missions that we give away to local, national, and international missions projects. So that's where we are. That's what's coming up this week. So I pray that you will allow God to develop your faith. faith is the key ingredient to faithfulness. And faith, when it comes to giving, knows that you'll never be able to outgive God. And God's never going to ask you to give something that is going to lead to your demise. Every time God asks you to do something, it is so that he can set you up to succeed. The devil will succeed or will set you up to fail, but God will set you up to succeed. And the point that I was trying to make before the clock ran out on Friday's broadcast was quite simply this. When God's people, it was out of Exodus chapter 36, when God's people catch the vision of faithfully giving to God, there is going to be more than enough. More than enough. Now, personal confession time. I am a person who used to have a great deal of anxiety about finances. My wife and I, the first year we got married, with the both of us working, our total income was $13,000. The next year, we just hit the jackpot. We got all the way up to $19,000 or $20,000 a year. The next year, midway in the year, we took the first year was $9,000, and then we got up to $19,000 the next year. The next year, we had a ministry shift, and I think we dropped down to $13,000 that year. So when I talk about being faithful in your finances, I'm not a person that's never experienced lack or challenge. I've been there. And in all of that time, we continued to honor God with our finances. And so I want you to know, back in those days, I remember having my wife, a child, and wondering how in the world we were ever going to raise $1,000 a month. That was just a serious, serious stretch. That's how much we needed to survive on a monthly basis. And when we moved to Florida, we took a pay cut to come to Florida. When we came to Merit Assembly of God, we took a pay cut to come to Merit Assembly of God. It's not about whether it was to a bigger and better paycheck. That's never been it. So the year my middle child was born, I was working for a shoe company down in Melbourne, and there was always a little bit of uncertainty whenever this general manager came in of whether or not the manager was going to get fired, the whole staff was going to get fired. I mean, he thrived on keeping people on pins and needles. And so I was back there, and I needed a paycheck. I did. There, it wasn't paycheck to paycheck. It was paycheck to miracle to paycheck. That was the way we were living then. And so I was back in the stockroom praying, and God spoke to me, and he said, how much do you make an hour? And at that point in time, I was making $7.50 an hour. Back in the early 90s, the economy was booming, and I was basically living off minimum wage. And I said, I make $7.50 an hour. And he said, well, let me ask you this question. Since I'm God of the universe, do you think that if something happened to this job, that I would be able to find you another job that paid $7.50 an hour? And I said, I believe you can. I believe you can. And Nothing happened with my financial situation at that point in time. What did happen was the power of fear was broken in the area of finances. And at that point in time, I had liberty. I had freedom. I was able to be a faithful, cheerful, jubilant giver to God. And I have no intention of going back. I have no intention of going back to that, to that other way of living. So the Moses with the tabernacle, there was so much that came in that they literally had to stop the people from giving. It's the only time in recorded history that I can find. Hezekiah, which we talked about last week, he had storerooms built for the surplus. They were marching through the desert. They didn't really want the responsibility of having to hang on to all of that surplus. They said, you need to stop giving. I want to ask you, what do you suppose it would be like if the church's financial supply was greater than the need? What do you think we would be able to do for the kingdom of God? I believe that if we could just establish faithfulness in the arena of giving. There's a statistic that I saw years ago that talked about the very, very teeny tiny single digit percentage of the church that actually gives faithfully to God. That's not coming from a church mindset. That is coming from analysis of census data. And they said that it doesn't even take all 10 fingers on a hand to identify the percentage of people who are faithful in their financial support of the kingdom of God. Do you know what that means? That means that there is a 900% opportunity for increase. Let me tell you, if you had more financial reserve, you could support more missions, you could do more outreach, you could have more people who were devoted full time to taking the gospel to people who are hurting and dying in this world. And so I pray that you will get to that place where you are able to be faithful in the area of giving. I'm going to go ahead and move on now to our next topic. We're in 2 Kings chapter 22, and verse number 1 is where we're going to begin reading. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, and the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent to Shaphan the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work who are overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully." Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." Now, if you're just tuning in, you might think, well, he just talked about this last week. I talked about the concept, but it was a different incident. And so I'm not going to go back and rehash everything from last week. Last week, we were talking about Jeconiah the high priest and Jehoash the king, and how Jehoiada was faithful to establish the king back on the throne, but he wasn't all that faithful in the distribution of finances when it came to doing projects to repair the house of the Lord. And so they put parameters in place. They came up with a new process. They collected it in a chest, bored a hole in the lid, and when it got full, then they would call a scribe, they would call a priest, they would count the money, and they would distribute it to the people who acted with such faithfulness that they need not give accounting of the resources. That was then. From the time of Jehoash to the time of Josiah, who came after Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. This Josiah comes a few generations later, not many, but a couple of generations later, and the house of the Lord had fallen into disrepair again. So what I want to talk to you about right now is faithfulness. We need to be faithful, not just for an episode, not just on an occasion. We need to be faithful not only to build, but we need to be faithful to maintain. There's a whole lot of concepts out there that talk about leadership, and there is a time, there's a place for leadership. We need great leaders. We need good, godly leaders. We need leaders in the men's ministry, leaders in the women's ministry, leaders in youth ministry, in children's ministry, in worship ministry. We need leaders in evangelism. We need leaders in marketplace evangelism. We need leaders across the spectrum of the body of Christ. But we also have to have maintenance of what has been entrusted to us. If not, what we build will soon fall into disrepair again. This time, Josiah is the king, Hilkiah is the high priest, and there are once again repairs needing to be made on the temple. And so there are carpenters, and there are builders, and there are masons, and there are stone quarry operators, and they set out to once again repair the temple of the Lord. I want to ask you, how much would it be acceptable in your sight if all of a sudden one of the walls just fell over? Would it be okay if the concrete block or the brick just fell over because of neglect? Would it be okay if the doors fell off the hinges and the windows were broken? Would it be okay with you if the house was deemed condemned because it was not fit for occupancy? And you'd say, no, of course not. That's not okay. How do I want to say this? How do I want to say this? I think that faithfulness to God in the area of finances should be about more than getting your name on a building. I was at a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, 2 weeks ago, and every building had a name. And when you walked down in the lobby, you could see wall after wall. Well, these are people who have given X number of dollars from this span to this span, from this date to this date. And the buildings that people had their names over were people who had given large, large sums of money. People like to be associated with things that are being built. But let me tell you, everything that is built requires maintenance. I don't care how fancy the car you drive, it requires maintenance. Your home requires maintenance. Probably the clothes that you have on your back, they're going to require maintenance at some point in time, whether it's washing them, drying them, ironing them, sending out to have them cleaned, spraying, washing them, hanging them up, folding them, putting them in a drawer. There's all sorts of things. And I want you to understand that we are called to be faithful in the area of finance, not only for the building, not only for the repairing, but for the maintaining of the work of the kingdom of God. We had a missionary at church last night. Every time a missionary comes in, we receive an offering for them. But that offering will not keep them on their assignment on the field. And many times, the fields that our missionaries are serving in are some of the most desperately lost places on the planet. And so there is not only a financial gift to them that says, we want to help get you to the field, but there are 50 plus missionaries that we support on a monthly basis so that they can continue to serve on the field, that there will be no lack. How many of you believe that there should be no lack in God's house? I do. It goes on and it says I'm going to touch on one more thing here, and then I'm going to take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 34 because it's the same timeline. In verse number 8, it says, then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. When you and I are faithful to maintain and to give, then we're going to see breakthrough in revelation. When Josiah was presented with that book, it was a shock to the spiritual climate of that community. It was a revelation. We have sinned greatly against God. There was an envoy that was sent to the prophetess and said, hey, what does God have to say? This is what we read in the book. And the prophetess says, you know what? Because you have acted with such faithfulness and such love for me and such concern and such zeal, judgment is not going to come for a few more generations. You're going to receive a reprieve. And that was like saying, sick 'em to a bulldog. That Josiah became, in my mindset, in my understanding, Josiah became the second most passionate king about serving God in the chronology. Now, you know, I might be able to be convinced one way or the other on that. But Josiah, he observed the Passover when the Passover was supposed to be observed. He destroyed idol temples, idol altars. He was passionate about his pursuit of God because there was a revelation of God's word in God's house when God's people demonstrated faithfulness in the area of giving. You see, a lot of times we want to give in response to revelation. What if that seed sowing, that financial faithfulness, sets you up for spiritual breakthrough and revelation from God's word? Okay. I want to take you to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Again, this is talking about the same time frame. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and it says in verse number 11, they gave it to the craftsmen and builders to buy hewn stone and timbers for beams and to the floor of the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed, and the men did the work faithfully. Their overseers were, and then it goes on to name them, others of the Levites, all of whom were skillful with instruments of music, were over the burden bearers and were overseers of all who did work in any kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. What happened when there was faithfulness in the financial arena, it set people up to faithfully utilize their gifts for the glory of the Lord. Last week I was having lunch with a minister friend of mine, and we were having a discussion about some of the changes that have happened. And listen, I'm not an anti-change guy. When we came to Merit Assembly of God, we had an overhead projector, and we put the words of the song up on that. We then went to a video projector on a screen that was in full color. We've now gone to television screens. I used to have a handheld wired mic. Now I operate with a cordless mic. There's very little that I do that I feel if it can be improved, I don't want it to be improved. I want to make sure that the improvements take place. There's very little that says, nope, we cannot make this any better. Everything should be on the table for being able to communicate the Word of God in a more efficient and more excellent manner. And so we were having this discussion, and one of the things that I was saying was that some of the changes that have happened in the church in the past 20 or 30 years have taken away ministry opportunities from people that were probably very gifted and had a passion for the ministries that they were participating in. You know what? I'm not trying to remove people from ministry opportunities. I'm trying to position people to serve faithfully, whether it is through manual labor, whether it's construction. One of the men at our church, God has used him to lead people to the Lord, being an auto mechanic. There's another auto mechanic in our church that has been a blessing to people in the body of Christ. Look, faithfulness in the financial arena will set you up for revelation that can be breakthrough, transforming revelation. But that same financial faithfulness can allow people to be more focused on their responsibilities and create other opportunities for people to excel in their service for the purpose that God created them to fulfill. Whatever you do today, whatever your occupation, I pray that you will use it as a ministry of faithfulness to your King and your Savior. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you without adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an